The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told them, "You are the salt of the earth. But what if salt were to lose its flavor? How could you restore it? It would be fit for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. You don't build a city on a hill and then hide it, do you? You don't light a lamp, then put it under a bushel basket, do you? No, you set it on a stand where it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before others so that they may see your good works and give praise to your Abba in heaven." The Gospel of Christ. Please be seated. So it's a very distant memory now, and the details are mostly forgotten, but I can still feel the emotions as if it were yesterday. I couldn't have been more than about 5 or 6. I desperately wanted to be a big girl. I wanted so very much to show my mom that I could help her. Still, I can almost feel the heat and see the steam rising from the iron that my mother was using. I knew it was dangerous. I knew that the heat that pressed the clothes could burn me, but I wanted to help. Now, either I nagged my mother so much that she finally gave in, or her own loathing of the chore of ironing was so intense that she just couldn't help herself, and somehow she taught her little girl how to iron. I can't remember Mom showing me how to do it, but I do remember carefully moving the hot steaming iron over the dish towels and the pillowcases and marveling as the creases and the wrinkles disappeared. And I remember carefully folding the cloth and then magically creating these new, sharp, straight creases. They were the best ironed towels and pillowcases ever. And those were the things that I ironed for quite a few years after that. I remember that first one really well, though, the first pile that grew as I pressed those towels and pillowcases. And I can still feel the pride welling up in me as I completed my work. I was a big girl. I was helping my mom. I was brilliant. I was so proud of myself and proud of the fruits of my labor. I couldn't wait to show my dad when he got home. I was a good little worker. Just what I always wanted to be, a good little worker. And yet, even now, as I remember the pride swelling in me, I also remember the quick rebuke. Don't be such a smart aleck. Who do you think you are? I don't think my mother actually said these words, "Pride goeth before a fall," but my memory of these events evokes these words in me. The words well up inside me. Indeed, the words are part of my being. Pride goes before a fall. Don't get too big for your britches. All too often, I still feel that same self-rebuke. Who do you think you are? Oh, there are other memories, other cliches that come to mind. If a job is worth doing, it's worth doing well. Take pride in your work. I heard these phrases from parents and teachers as I grew up, but somehow the warnings not to be proud of myself, these warnings undid the pride that I could muster in my work. And so on this Labor Day weekend, when we are all encouraged to celebrate our labors and the labors of others, I've been thinking a great deal about what a gift work is. In the stories handed down to us from the anonymous gospel storytellers, we are told that Jesus was a tecton. Now, the Greek word tecton is all too often translated as carpenter, but that's far too grand and lofty a profession. That doesn't translate tecton accurately. A more accurate translation of tecton would be worker or laborer. Jesus, we are told, was a worker. But the anonymous gospel storytellers are not very clear about what kind of worker Jesus was. They also tell us that Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. Whatever kind of work that Jesus did, I hope, indeed I am pretty much convinced, that Jesus took great pride in his work. For how else could Jesus teach his followers that they are the light of the world, unless Jesus had also known the pride of a job well done? You, I'm talking about you, are the light of the world. You don't build a city on a hill and then try to hide it, do you? You don't light a lamp, then put it under a bushel basket, do you? No, you set it on a stand where it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, your light, must shine before others so that they may see your good works and give praise to your Abba God in heaven. That line we give with a lighted candle at baptism. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give praise to your Abba in heaven. So who do we think we are? Now, I know that we're humble Canadians, and we tend not to blow our own horns, but seriously, we are the light of the world. I know it makes me feel uncomfortable to think that I am the light of the world, let alone to say it. I am the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Maybe if you say it with me. Come on, I'm serious. Say it. We are the light of the world. What are we afraid of? What prevents us from embracing the reality of our splendor? Why must we continually insist that we are only human? Just human. For we are, in the words of the psalmist, fearfully and wonderfully made. That's King James English for awesome. We are awesome and wonderfully made. Why can't we accept our own magnificence? I can almost hear some of you thinking it. Pride goeth before a fall. The dire warning that creeps into us when we feel good about who and what we are. The dire warning holds us back, and we perish the thought of seeing the truth of humanity's awesome power to shape and mold a new world. The kind of world that Jesus of Nazareth continues to call us into. The kind of world where we use our talents, our skills, our abilities, our work in the difficult task of creating justice and peace. Have we magnificent creatures become so afraid of failure that we have given up on Jesus' vision of justice? I don't think we've given up this vision. I think we're afraid of it. Marianne Williamson has written, What holds us back in our lives is our fear. And sometimes when you take a very close look, you find out that your fears aren't exactly what you thought they were. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So it is holy work to move past our own fear. It doesn't help you. It helps the world. Today, as I look around the world, I see that there is so very much work that needs to be done. And as I look around this sanctuary, I see so very many talented workers. I think about your various skills and talents, and I can't help but remember the little girl that I once was. So proud to offer up the fruits of my labors to my mom. Those neatly ironed tea towels were but a small part of the fruit of my labor. The bigger part was the love that I was offering to my mom through that work. The poet Gilbran insists that work is love made visible. Work is love made visible. And you know I'm always quoting Cornel West, who insists that justice is what love looks like in public. Work is love made visible, and justice is what love looks like in public. How about we put away the tired clichés that are holding us back and take a few risks for the sake of love? When we engage in the work that needs doing, we become the embodiment of love. Those neatly ironed tea towels made visible my love for my mom and for my family and for everyone who would ever use one of those carefully ironed towels. Our work is in so many ways our love made visible. Roman Catholic nun Joan Chittister insists that when we grow radishes in a small container in a city apartment, we participate in creation. When we sweep the street in front of a house, we bring new order to the universe. When we repair what has been broken, or paint what is old, or give away what we have earned that is above and beyond our own sustenance, we stoop down and scoop up the earth and breathe into it new life again. When we compost garbage and recycle cans, when we clean a room and put coasters under glasses, when we care for everything we touch and touch it reverently, we become the creators of a new universe. Then we sanctify our work, and our work sanctifies us. A spirituality of work puts us in touch with our own creativity. Making a salad for supper becomes a work of art. Planting another evergreen tree becomes our contribution to the health of the world. Organizing a good meeting with important questions for the sake of preserving the best in human values enhances humanity. Work enables us to put our personal stamp, personal stamp of approval, our own watermark, the autograph of our souls on the development of the world. In fact, to do less is to do nothing at all. A spirituality of work draws us out of ourselves and at the same time makes us more of what we are meant to be. Good work, work done with good intentions and good effects, work that upbuilds the human race rather than reduces it to the monstrous risks that some work does. For we humans are capable of such great creativity and such perilous destruction. Work that builds up the human race, develops qualities of compassion and character in us. My work develops everything around it in the same way that your work develops everything around that work. There is nothing that we do that does not affect the world in which we live. In developing a spirituality of work, we learn to trust beyond reason that good work will gain good things for the world, even when we don't expect them and we can't see them. In that way, we gain ourselves. Literally, we come into possession of ourselves, of a me that is worthwhile, a life that has not been in vain. Me, who has been a valuable member of the human race. Finally, a spirituality of work immerses me in the search for human community. I begin to see that everything I do, everything, has some effect on someone somewhere. I begin to see my life tied up in others. I begin to see that the starving starve because someone is not working hard enough to feed them. And so perhaps I do. I hope I do. It becomes obvious then that the poor are poor because someone is not intent on the just distribution of goods. And so I become. I hope I become. I hope I become concerned. I hope I begin to realize that work is the lifelong process of personal sanctification that is satisfied only for the world. Salvation is not about individuals. Hopefully in my work, and hopefully you in your work, will come to know that work, your work, is God's work, unfinished by God, because God meant you to finish it. This view of work is an expression of our love. Think about work as your way of expressing, of breathing life into the love that you have. This way of viewing love reminds me that the love that we call God finds expression in the work that we do. Indeed, the love that is God works in, with, through, and beyond us. You are the light of the world. And you don't build a city on a hill and then try to hide it, do you? You don't light a lamp, then put it under a bushel basket, do you? No, you set it on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before others so that they may see your good works and give praise to Abba in heaven. So on this Labor Day weekend, may we all celebrate the sacred work that has nourished, grounded, and sustained us in the magnificent lives that we live. May we honor all the sacred workers who have provided a means for love to find expression in the world. May we find work that gives expression to our love for the world, our love for one another, and our love for our neighbors. Work is indeed love made visible. Love is the source and ground of our being. Justice is what love looks like in public. May our work together and beyond make the love that is God visible in the justice that creates peace. Let it be so.